This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
I want you to know that the mothership has landed.
It's DA on CBS Sports Radio.
What's up, my brother? I want permission to come aboard the mothership.
Asking permission to join a sports talk spaceship? Well, we're all a little crazy. The mothership has connected.
The mothership.
Let's come aboard.
Happy Friday to you, North America. The mothership has connected. Welcome aboard. It's the 3-hour supersonic soul train line. DA with you from the CBS Sports Radio studios in New York City, broadcasting to affiliates nationwide and north of the border. Anchorage to Atlanta, the Bay Area to Baltimore, Kalamazoo and Waterloo. We are on the air.
They listening, D.A. Everything we saying, D.A. Everything.
And we come to you live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts studios. O'Reilly Auto Parts, better parts, better prices every day. You can watch us, as always, as part of the digital broadcast online. Watch at watchda.com. That's mobile friendly as well. So watch on your PC, your laptop, or your phone or your tablet at watchda.com. Good reason to do so is our friend gadget guru Katie Linnendahl, one of our favorites, is going to drop on by. She's got cool information on some of the arena activity, some of the action, some of the technology that they're going to be debuting coming up in the NBA Finals in Cleveland, or that they just kind of started instituting. So she's going to join us in studio coming up here in about an hour from now. Also, we'll have Chris Mannix from The Vertical join us to discuss the NBA Finals now set between the Warriors and the Cavaliers, one thing that we felt was going to happen all season long. Will the Seahawks ever recover from what happened to the one-foot line a couple of years ago? LeBron passes MJ in playoff points, and Josh Norman's losing his damn mind. But we begin with last night's NHL and NBA playoff games. We had a Game 5 in Boston, and Celtics fans were probably juiced up, saying, okay, you know what? We got the bad basketball out of our system in 1 and 2. Now we come back home after stealing one in Game 3 and playing really well in the first half of Game 4. We've somehow found a little mojo without Isaiah Thomas, and we're coming back home. This is going to be a shot to extend the series. I know I got Celtics fans on my social media channels chirp, chirp, chirping, DA, this is going 6. They're going to win Game 5. This is definitely going to be an extended series. No.
I am the epic fail.
On the flip side, most of America may not have been tuned in to Ottawa versus Pittsburgh, the Penguins and Sens, in a Game 7 of the Eastern Finals that went to not only overtime, but double overtime to decide who was going to meet the Nashville Predators in the Stanley Cup playoffs and the Stanley Cup final. It was the tale of two postseasons last night. If you were flipping back and forth, you saw a great game on NBC Sports Network and a trash game on TNT. But that really defines what happened in both of those postseasons. It's where we begin. It's your cold open.
Jaylen Brown goes past Kyrie Irving, scoops it up and in with the left hand, scoring on the foul.
Save made by Anderson, rebound bounce to Brown, is it in? No, play is stopped.
LeBron palms it and lays it in at the cup. Looked like he was going to pass. Jay Crowder pulled away, and LeBron spun the ball into the palm of his hand, got to the cup, laid it in. It's the largest lead for the Cavs.
Tourist to the outside, let it on back. Carlson there, fires, drag it off the pipe, scramble, they score! It's Dzingel, and the game is tied.
J.R. steps away from Avery Bradley. His three is good. The Celtics are playing hard right now.
Yeah.
And the Cavs are up by 30.
Now it's Sheary. That one came off Stahlberg. It's Schultz working it back in deep. Fresh from the bench, it's Crosby. Crosby on Kunitz. It's shot. Penguins win it! And they go to the final!
I don't believe it!
The most amazing, sensational, dramatic, heartrending.
It's DA's top story.
Here he goes.
It's your cold open.
That was Sean Grandy and Cedric Maxwell on Celtics Radio, and then the great Doc Emmerich on NBC Sports Network last night. So let's start with the good. I talked about this last night, or yesterday morning, actually, about last night's game. I said, you may see an effervescent LeBron James performance because they played so well on the road in 1 and 2, and playing in Boston has become something in the playoffs that LeBron relishes. After that game 6 in 2012, which really turned the page and flipped the script on his entire career, he has relished, he has loved quieting that Boston crowd. And I said, you may just see an epic LeBron performance. And that's what it was last night. Right out of the gate, LeBron ripped the hearts out of all of the Celtics fans and the Celtics players and coaches. And the Cavs were so crisp, executed so well, had all of that urgency and just jumped up on top of it and didn't let it become a game. It was a great performance from a great team in an instance where they knew, hey, let's close this thing out and not give the inferior opponent any types of hope, any types of momentum. The other good was the action back and forth, how competitive it was in the Ottawa-Pittsburgh game. My goodness, did they leave it all on the line? The compete level pinned at a 10. And for the action in first overtime and then second overtime, it was breathtaking. Up and down the ice. All types of shots, all types of shots and hits and action at the crease of the goal mouth, all types of saves. I mean, you had it all in that postseason overtime and double OT. And it's where it's the most brilliant is when playoff hockey has that much on the line. And with every shift up and down the ice, you are holding your breath because everything is a heart attack. Whether you're on defense or you're on offense, every rush down the ice is a heart attack. It was awesome. And the Penguins rise to the occasion because the Penguins end up being the championship-laden team that finds a way to win and puts all that star power on the ice and just figures it out. So give them credit, the defending Stanley Cup champions. Definitely deserved the victory last night. The bad? What we saw from Celtics Cavaliers is the problem of the NBA playoffs, and it was highlighted by the NHL last night. We haven't had any exciting NBA games. And I don't know if we're going to have an exciting NBA Finals. It's great that we got Cavs-Warriors again. But if this is a five-game series where the Warriors are just too good with the addition of Kevin Durant, is that really going to be a satisfying end to maybe the most dissatisfying season in NBA history? I understand if you're a Warriors or a Cavs fan, you don't care. You cruised. You barely broke a sweat. But the Warriors didn't lose a playoff game, and the Cavs lost one. And the Eastern Conference Finals, they won three of their games by 25 points or more. That is just such a terrible playoffs. It is now the end of the worst NBA playoffs ever. And when you watch what happened last night in Pittsburgh, Penguins and Senators, one team is the defending Stanley Cup champion. Another team is a young upstart squad that wasn't supposed to get this far, that nobody figured would be there, and it was still good enough to get to double overtime at Game 7. That would never happen in the NBA. And Adam Silver, who I love as a commissioner, should have been watching with both eyes the hockey last night and go, how do we make our league like that? Because the NBA playoffs were a snooze right through. And the NHL playoffs were fantastic right through. 855-212-4CBS. 855-212-4227. On Twitter, DA on CBS. I did think that if you were wondering whether the Cavs could give a series to the Warriors, Game 3 worried you. The first half of Game 4 worried you. But then the second half of Game 4 and last night led you to believe, okay, maybe they're up for the challenge. I think the Cavaliers, once they went up by 21 points in Game 3, felt like, at this point, we're cruising. This game is won. And once they did that and they took it really lightly is when the Celtics came back. I think had the Cavaliers played at full throttle the entire series, it not only would have been a sweep, it would have been four wins by 20 points or more. I mean, think about it. Had they simply just held on to a 21-point lead in Game 3, the first three games would have been decided by more than 20 points, and you're telling me that the Celtics are going to come back at a Game 4, down 3-0, getting smashed three straight times and winning? They probably would have got smashed again. So it was about a focus. It was about a level of intensity. It was about a level of urgency that the Cavaliers never had. And they were ultimately validated late in the season, resting their guys and not caring about the one seed. So in the NBA playoffs, the Cavaliers were so good. They knew, A, we don't have to have home court advantage because we're way better than everybody else in the East. B, we don't even have to really try to beat some of these teams. We'll just barely break a sweat and do it. And then C, as long as we're focused, we'll beat everybody by 20 or 30 or 40. So I think going into the finals, the reason that I bring this up is that I think when the Cavaliers are locked in, I think when the Cavaliers are motivated and focused and feel like they're challenged, you will see better basketball than we saw in some stretches of this postseason. You know, the first round was not very inspirational against the Pacers. They kind of just sleptwalked their way through that four-game sweep. Against the Raptors, I mean, they just housed them at times, though it felt like they weren't really even trying. Certainly in the second half of Game 3 and then the first half of Game 4, again, the Cavaliers acted like it didn't really matter, like they didn't it didn't matter to them to put forth the best effort. I think you'll see excellent effort from the Cavaliers in all of these games in the NBA Finals. I just don't know if they can go shot for shot firepower-wise with the Warriors and find a way to win four games. All right, we'll get into your phone calls coming up here next. Also, the Kardashian athlete curse strikes again. That's next, DA, CBS Sports Radio.
New time slot, same great taste.
DA, what's going on, man? Loving the new time slot. Super pumped that you're bringing back Target Demo Friday. I think that's pretty awesome.
DA on CBS Sports Radio.
It is a Target Demo Friday. In our final segment of the show this morning, we'll see what you guys are up to as we rock and roll towards a Memorial Day weekend. It's time to Ask the Pros, where you, the listener, gets to ask a question, brought to you by O'Reilly Auto Parts. Check out the link, cbssportsradio.com/askthepros, or tweet your question at CBS Sports Radio using the hashtag AskThePros. Be listening later on in the show when we may answer that question. At O'Reilly Auto Parts, you'll get better parts, better prices every day, and the parts that you need to get the job done right with high-quality parts and accessories at guaranteed low prices. And the store's well-trained professionals standing by to help. O'Reilly Auto Parts, better prices every day. What a woof of an NBA postseason, huh? Between the Warriors and Cavaliers, they lost one game en route to the finals. I'm hoping we get an epic NBA Finals because that's the only way this is validated. If this is not a good NBA Finals, you know what? And let me even say this. We could have a seven-game series, but if every game is decided by 15 points, that's not a good NBA Finals. And sometimes that happens in the NBA, that you just trade off 15-point wins because one team shoots well from the outside, the other team doesn't. We better get competitive games. I need overtime games. I need final shots. I need shots at the buzzer by Steph, by LeBron, by Kyrie. I need some big plays down the stretch because that was garbage. That was a dog of an NBA playoffs. Meantime, the Stanley Cup playoffs were fantastic. Fan-freaking-tastic. Think about it. In the conference finals of the NBA, it went four and then five. The two series, four and then five games. And the only reason the one went five is because the team blew a 21-point lead. In the Stanley Cup Western Conference Finals, it went six. In the Eastern Conference Finals, it went seven in double overtime. I mean, please. Andre's in Mississippi, listening on 103.1 of CBS Sports Radio. Good morning, Dre.
What's going on, DA?
How you doing, baby?
I'm doing great. I got to agree with you about the NBA Finals. That was the worst NBA Finals I ever seen in my life. But when you look at both of these teams, I got to go with Cleveland. Kevin Love is going back to the old Minnesota Kevin Love in this series. I believe he's going to be the MVP. And I know they're going to wear Steph Curry down just like they did last year. Kyrie Irving made him work on defense. I think Cleveland's going to win in six games. That's what I see. I hope it be some good games. But, hey, if it don't, Cleveland's going back-to-back. That's what I see.
You know, it's interesting. Had they not added Kevin Durant, I think I would pick the Cavaliers as well. Now, the Warriors, I think their postseason would have looked different. They would have lost a game or two, maybe even more. Maybe they would have had a competitive series a couple of times around. But the addition of Kevin Durant, as good as the Cavaliers are, had this just been a replay of last year's rosters, I agree, the way Kevin Love is playing leads you to believe, and the way that Kyrie exploded in Game 4, and the way that LeBron has had maybe his most proficient postseason ever, leads you to believe this is actually the best the Cavs have played and the healthiest they've been in the 3 years they've been together. Plus, they added Korver, tremendous outside shooter. They added Darren Williams. That's a good addition for them as well. This is probably the best Cavs team playing the best that they've had in the 3 years. But that Durant addition just seems to change the whole equation. We better get good games, man. We better get good games. You know, sometimes when it comes to the Hollywood Kardashian stuff, I just roll my eyes. I am just not locked into Hollywood gossip. There's something about it, and I guess this might be the way that non-sports fans look at my interests when they're like, why would you care about game seven of why would you care about a hockey game between a team in Ottawa and a team in Pittsburgh? Why would you care about this or that or this roster addition? Why would you care about this story in May about football or something like that? But when it comes to Hollywood gossip, I just can't think of anything more frivolous that I couldn't care less about. So when it comes to Kardashian stuff, I usually just kind of, my eyes gloss over and it just goes in one ear and out the other. But Rashad McCann said something that really grabbed my attention about the Kardashians. Now, Rashad McCann's star at UNC and had a disappointing, let's face it, disappointing NBA career. He was on the Kings, he was on the Timberwolves, he was on a bunch of teams. He was in the D-League. He went across seas. Can you check how many teams Rashad McCants has been on or was on?
Sure, and I believe he was the number one pick in the Big Three draft here.
Oh, that's right. That's right. Rashad McCants was the number one pick of the Big Three. This summer league that Ice Cube has organized. Rashawn McCants told the Charlotte Observer his biggest regret was dating Khloe Kardashian late in his career. He said it gave people doubts about his commitment to the NBA. They dated for about 6 months in 2008. They broke up in January of 2009. At that point is when Minnesota traded him to the Kings. Once he finished out the string with the Kings, he never played in the NBA again. McCants said, quote, "Without that situation in play, I'm a $60 to $70 million player, easily." Now, I'm not going to sit here and have any type of sympathy for Rashawn McCants. I mean, he made his own bed. And Rashawn McCants should have been more in his NBA career. But he only had five seasons. Is that right? He only spent five seasons in the NBA?
Five, and then a bunch of overseas, and then some with the Texas Legends. He ended up playing, after he left the NBA in 2009, till 2015, all over the place.
He was a lottery pick out of UNC by the Timberwolves in 2005. He played for four seasons there, the end of that fifth season in Sacramento, then went to the Texas Legends, then went to play in the Philippines, China, and a million other places up until last year. The guy totally flamed out. And there is absolutely something to be said for dating dangerous people. And this is not just a chicks ruin dudes thing. This is a dudes ruin chicks thing, too. Khloe Kardashian, Kim Kardashian, Kourtney Kardashian, Kendall Jenner. What's the other one? The other Jenner?
Kylie?
Kylie Jenner. No matter what. Hell, the mom.
Chris.
The dad that now is kind of a mom. You know, no matter what it was, if you were wrapped into that, it A, had to detract from your focus on your normal, regular life. But also, it caused everybody around you to think that you are just a star bleeper, or you are just in it for the celebrity, or you are just in it because you want the headlines, you want to be in Us Weekly. So, whether it was, who was the big, tall, doofy guy that married?
Chris Humphries.
Chris Humphries.
I know way more about the Kardashian dating scene. Reggie Bush was with Kim.
Reggie Bush. Lamar Odom. I mean, ended up putting him in the hospital.
Yes.
Guy was on life support because of them.
And the non-athlete that was with Kourtney and had the kids, Scott, he's been all over the place as far as, I believe, rehab and stuff.
And then what about the son?
Yeah, Rob. And Rob became fat.
I mean, but beyond just being fat, I mean, the guy,
even if you're fat,
is like a total emotional wreck.
Franchise left tackle.
The Blind Side with Rob Kardashian. That everybody that hit their sphere were destroyed. Absolutely destroyed. Put in a blender and destroyed. And so for Rashawn McCants, it's interesting, I mean, because you hear this a lot, like the Kardashians kill your life. They kill your career. They kill you. All of those guys never lived up to what their potential was. And McCants is just admitting it now. Now, he could be a little bit delusional, saying I should have made another $70 million. But, you know, if you don't get caught in that blender, you definitely have more time for basketball, more focus, more energy for basketball, and people take you more seriously. So it is just a good lesson. Careful who you date. Careful who you hang out with, whether you're a guy or a girl. Because if that guy is a celebrity hound or a drug addict or a gambling addiction or an alcoholic or a tax evader or, you know, whatever, you are going down a bad path. It'll be hard to escape it. And the same thing, if you date a Kardashian, it'll be tough to get out of that blender.
Now, if the Cavs win the title, though, and Tristan Thompson has back-to-back rings, does he debunk the Kardashian curse?
Who's he with?
He is with the one that McCann said ruined him, Khloe, I believe.
Yeah, but Khloe ruined Lamar Odom.
Right, so she's on to her third NBA career.
And think about Ray J, too. He was ruined.
Was he, though?
Maybe he never was anything.
Technically, Ray J started this whole thing.
Correct.
Wasn't the OJ case. It's Ray J.
When we come back here on the DA Show, Will the Seahawks ever recover? A fascinating story about Richard Sherman suggests no. DA, CBS Sports Radio.
Welcome to Play It, a new podcast network featuring radio and TV personalities talking business, sports, tech, entertainment, and more. Play it at play.it.
We are the glitch in the simulation.
I always like wanted to have my face licked.
DA on CBS Sports Radio.
That's Katie Linnendahl, gadget guru, who's going to join us at the top of the hour. She'll be in studio with us. You can watch it at watchda.com. That is mobile friendly. Watch it on your computer or your phone or tablet. This Richard Sherman story is really interesting. Seth Wickersham, who's one of the best in the business, wrote a long profile for ESPN the magazine about what the root was of the trade talks for Richard Sherman this offseason. And what it boiled down to was that Richard Sherman has been combative, he has been resentful, he has been angry and rage-filled since that Super Bowl loss. Now, part of this is in his DNA. Richard Sherman likes to make mountains out of molehills, and that's what he fuels himself on. Him yelling to Aaron Andrews about Michael Crabtree, him looking for every slight as motivation, him pushing himself to become a great cornerback despite being drafted in the fifth round. Richard Sherman lives with a fire burning, and so he needs logs for that fire. But what this profile said was everything changed within that organization when they lost that Super Bowl on the 1 yard line with the interception. Because A, Pete Carroll still has not apologized for the play call, has still contended it was the right play call. And that also the defense has felt like we were the backbone, we are the strength of this team, and you ride us harder than anybody else. And when the offense makes a mistake, like Russell Wilson throwing a bad pass at the goal line to lose us a Super Bowl, you don't get on his case, you let it slide. And that the Pete Carroll hunky-dory, life is good, everybody should be happy type of thing is not working. And that since that time, there's been serious resentment from Richard Sherman towards Russell Wilson for kind of getting it easy from the coaching staff, and resentment towards the coaching staff for that play call and not admitting they made a mistake, and some urgency, some paranoia maybe, that the window is closing. And that has led to Richard Sherman outburst on the sideline last year, remember, when they had a play call at the goal line and he yelled at Darrell Bevell and yelled at Pete Carroll about the play call. And we all said, why are you yelling at the offense when you're on defense? Richard Sherman having a very public spat with the media, suggesting he was going to get credentials revoked from media members that questioned him. And that apparently on the practice fields, he has yelled at Russell Wilson, "You bleeping suck." And has had very heated discussions with Pete Carroll about all of these things that he hates. So, this is a really interesting piece of what's happening with the Seahawks and what will happen with the Seahawks, because, frankly, I thought they were set up perfectly for a dynasty. I thought you were going to see the Seahawks win multiple Super Bowls and go to a bunch, very much like the Dallas Cowboys in 92, 93, and 95. Because when they won that first, it didn't take them long to get there. You know, they had basically won it in their second year together. That first year, they went to the playoffs and then eventually lost. That second year, they rampaged through the NFC. They destroyed Peyton Manning in the Super Bowl. They had all of this incredible talent that was young. They had a franchise quarterback, and they had won early. And I said, they're set up for 5 or 6 years here where they're going to win multiple Super Bowls. And then they get back the next year and have a 10-point lead in the fourth quarter with the best defense in the NFL. And that is actually Tom Brady's greatest moment, was that he was down 24-14 against the best defense in the NFL and maybe the best defense of a decade and came back to win that game. Now, it shows you how tenuous this grasp on greatness is for the Patriots, because what do we debate now? Well, Tom Brady's better than Joe Montana because he's got 5 rings instead of 4. Well, the last 2 of those came because the Seahawks decided to throw on the goal line and because the Falcons decided to throw up 28-3. You know, that's how different that conversation is. That if the Patriots lose those 2 Super Bowls, which they probably should have had there been appropriate coaching on the other side, then we still are talking about Tom Brady at 3 and he would have lost 4 Super Bowls. But because of things that were totally out of Brady's control in a lot of ways, we have this totally other discussion. And that comes back to the Seahawks. The Seahawks had this all in front of them, this greatness, this dynasty, this kind of epic run. And when they lost that Super Bowl, I think it was totally devastating, not only to Richard Sherman, but everybody within the organization. And look at them the last couple of years. Now, they've lost some talent to free agency. Okay, they made the Jimmy Graham move, but that did not help out. That hurt their offensive line. And Marshawn Lynch retired. And you've had guys leave because of free agency. And so there's been a drain of talent in some ways. But I think also emotionally, it's nearly impossible to get over a crushing loss in the Super Bowl. And I would just say, look at history. And this is why I believe the Atlanta Falcons will crash to earth this year and that it's going to take a couple of more seasons for them to bounce back. The last 25 or 30 years, what are the most crushing defeats in Super Bowl history? Scott Norwood, wide right, Super Bowl 25. The Bills can never get that close again in the Super Bowl. The Cincinnati Bengals lead with just minutes to play against Joe Montana, Super Bowl 23. Montana goes down the field. Bing, bing, bing. Niners win. Bengals never even sniff the Super Bowl again. This Seahawks team, after losing that Super Bowl the way that they did, has been good, but has not been able to even get to the NFC Championship game since that time. When you lose these really difficult, crushing Super Bowl losses, there is not a bunch of examples of teams bouncing back and coming back. And it's not only crushing losses, it's when you lose the Super Bowl, you do not come back to win the Super Bowl. But when you lose in a crushing fashion, you may never get back. You may never, ever get back. The Carolina Panthers lose in the final field goal against the Patriots in 2003. That team never gets back, and it's not even close. The Rams team loses to the Patriots in 2001 on the Adam Vinatieri field goal. The greatest show on turf never gets back to the Super Bowl. When you come that close and you don't close and you can feel it and you can taste it. I mean, those Rams guys, those Rams players, how many Rams players have we had here on the show, whether it's Marshall Faulk, Torrey Holt, Isaac Bruce, they always say the same thing, that losing Super Bowl 38, they remember and it hurts way more than winning Super Bowl 36. They all say that to a man, that losing that one hurts worse than winning the one feels good. It sticks with them way more. And I think if you lose by 20 points in a Super Bowl, it's easier to try to rebound. It's easier to say, okay, we weren't quite there, but we can get there. When you lose in a final play, I'm telling you, it is, the history says, it's virtually impossible to rebound. And I think the Seahawks are faltering because of that. If they don't win another Super Bowl with these guys, with Richard Sherman and Cam Chancellor and Earl Thomas and Russell Wilson, if they don't win another Super Bowl, they will remember losing the one on the goal line more than winning the one against the Broncos. I guarantee you. And it will always be a salty end They will not focus on winning the one. They will focus on losing the one. They need to win another one to feel like they have redeemed themselves. It's a great piece by Wickersham. I highly encourage any football fan to check it out about Richard Sherman. And he just simply cannot get over this loss. And it's coming out in all types of bizarre fashions. 855-212-4CBS. And I also think that Pete Carroll would take note of this because it suggests that a lot of the team is very bothered that he kind of coddles Russell Wilson and he pushes the defense. And I think Russell Wilson is the type of personality that kind of feels like you need to keep building him up because he's so positive that, yeah, I got a coach. Yeah, I got a coach. Yeah, I'm going to be better coach. Yeah, I'll do better coach. Yeah, I'm going to do that coach. And so it just lends itself to kind of helping build him up because he's so positive. But that you can get on his ass because now he makes a lot of money. He's got to carry the offense. And there's not a lot of excuses for him to be making mistakes that he made early in his career or not carrying his weight. Hit me on Twitter, DA on CBS. Chuck is in Nashville listening on the radio.com app, getting ready for his Preds against the Penguins of the Stanley Cup Final. What's going on, Chucky?
Hey, good morning, my brother. Did you make it through? Well, you made it through last night because I know I did.
Yeah, man.
Well, barely.
Oh, I was locked in. That would, when you get to Game 7 overtime hockey, there is nothing more beautiful.
No, there's not. And, you know, I've been listening to you, so I had to, like, adjust my take a little bit because in Nashville we have two things, food and music, and, well, three things in hockey. So I had some friends over, you know, we had the whole spread. We got to the third period, but they know when Chuck holds the party, overtime includes pizza. So, but let me tell you, all dressed chips, Molson, pizza. We had Chinese in the second overtime.
Oh,
I was going to have to break
yeah.
into the pantry in the third
wow,
overtime.
Wow, that is a spread.
Yeah, so we were ready to go, but I tell you right now, it's going to be amazing. We all were kind of pulling for Ottawa, but we knew we were kind of playing the Montreal Canadiens of this generation. Crosby did what he did. He set up the winning goal, and it's going to be a time. And I appreciate you you're pumping it, but what's your take on – I mean, we had three of the greatest players in the game. We had Carlson and Malkin and Crosby. I mean, it was a nutty night. It was a fun night, but it was a nutty night.
It was great to watch two teams evenly matched with everything on the line, lay it all on the line. And that's one thing the Stanley Cup playoffs always deliver, is that you know those guys are leaving it all out there. They are spilling the bucket. They are giving everything that they have on every shift. And at the end of the first overtime and the first overtime intermission last night, you saw Sidney Crosby kind of balancing himself against the boards. He looked like he was about to collapse. Just total exhaustion. He had just played 60 minutes of Game 7 hockey and then another 20, and it still wasn't decided. And that's the type of effort, that's the type of grit that the Stanley Cup playoffs give you, that these guys give everything, and it is so physically taxing and demanding. So that when you get a Game 7 where you know one shot, one save, one check, one anything wins the series and sends you to the next round or wins a championship or wins a conference, it's just epic drama. And last night was exactly that. It lived up to the billing, man. That was a great series top to bottom. And I just think that the Pittsburgh Penguins have got to be applauded for the type of organization they have built. Obviously, when you luck into drafting Sidney Crosby, and when I say luck, you know, you have to be bad the year before that guy is in the draft, and you have to get the number one pick. But they have also surrounded Sidney Crosby with really good talent around him. And bringing in Phil Kessel, who was a washout to other places, has totally paid dividends. Chris Kunitz has been fantastic for them, gets the game-winning goal last night. Evgeny Malkin has been a superstar as well. To have two really good goalies in Matt Murray and Marc-Andre Fleury, that is a model organization. They're always there. And Crosby might not be the flashiest, but Crosby got the job done again last night, and it's going to be amazing to watch him against the upstart Preds in the Stanley Cup final. You've got your David versus Goliath. This is really cool. The defending Stanley Cup champions and superstar Sidney Crosby go up against P.K. Subban and maybe a bunch of nobodies, but in Smashville, where it's a raucous honky-tonk party. It's going to be great theater. 855-212-4CBS. Ryan tweets, D.A., the Broncos got crushed in the Super Bowls and came back for another. Yeah, but the Broncos, when they got crushed in three Super Bowls, it took them nearly a decade to get back. They lose in 86, 87, and 89. They lose 55-10 in 89. They don't get back until 97. It's a totally different team outside of John Elway. What I'm saying is when you get beat in the Super Bowl, especially close, you may never get back. And that's why I worry about the Falcons. When we come back, our friend Katie Linnendahl in studio, a little gadget guru, telling us about some cool stuff going on at the NBA Finals. DA, CBS Sports Radio.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.